Welcome everybody to another edition of the NerdWatch Podcast. I, of course, am G Money. It is round two of the NerdWatch Podcast.
We're doing two tonight.
This is not the Magnum.
This is not Magnum Prime.
You better watch your mouth.
Yeah, watch your mouth.
You're stupid, man.
Yeah, this is NerdWatch Prime, baby. NerdWatch Prime.
Hulk's gotta have a massive DIC.
Stop it. Anyway, joining us tonight is, of course, our regulars, Gannon, the punk rock superstar, and the one and only horror aficionado. We are also joined by the man himself, Todd Bernardi, who can't seem to be appropriate at the correct time. Todd Bernardi is here
as
well.
When you say appropriate, my nipples get hard.
Stop it. All right. Also,
When his nipples get hard, my nipples get hard. Well,
all right. Good God. All right.
If you're binge watching all these shows, it's the same cast you just watched.
Yes, of course.
if you're binge watching, this episode is not canon.
That's right. Yeah. Also joining us tonight is the gaming guru himself. The man is a Smite legend already. It is Format is in the house as well.
You might want to explain what Smite is.
Smite is a MOBA game that has a different viewpoint than League of Losers. Anyway, I meant League of Legends. That's what I really
meant.
Way
to sell it. Anyway, Format.
Anyway, it's a mobile game. Format's in the house. And then finally, the comic book chairman, the man who owns the comic book shop and all the comics that are behind us here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. It is Maui Comics and Collectibles, and it is Halika.
Whoa. That's not how you pronounce it.
Are you sure? I could have swore it's Halika.
There's no H in the beginning.
Oh, that's the Little John. The
what?
Everything he says starts with a name.
Halika.
Oh. Halika.
Okay.
Halika.
Halika. Isn't that like a move that they do in Street Fighter? Halika.
No.
Close though.
As the gamer of the group, I can say no.
No. I do want to. This second part of the show is going to be recorded because we're going to be talking about a movie that we saw 2 weeks ago.
Yes.
Because we haven't had a chance to talk about it.
We get to spoil the crap out of it.
Yeah.
Position unusual.
3 weeks ago, we saw. 2 weeks ago, we saw it. And then, of course, we can talk about some Walking Dead. We'll talk about what's going on in the news, the world of nerd news coming up. So that's going to be fun. Just want to let you guys know, you can follow us on Facebook. Facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. You can follow us on YouTube and watch us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation as well, and on Instagram at @_NerdWatch. You guys can
we accept donations.
You guys can visit where we do our podcast here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Also,
but not while we do the podcast.
Right. Don't visit while we're doing the podcast. We will keep you guys. We will kick you out.
While we do the podcast.
Kick you out. But I do want to say one thing. If you guys are coming
the
Nerd Watch got some cool new shirts, which is very cool if you're watching. You can check them out here at
it's
Molly
also
Comics.
Very cool if you're not watching.
Even if you're not watching, it's cool.
Oh, yeah.
Also, I want to let you guys know, once again, this podcast, that we are going
to
be changing
brought to you by the letter C.
We're going to be important. This is important.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
We changed our RSS feed for our podcast on iTunes, so if you lose the podcast on your iPhone, you can get it back by downloading the Maui Watch app, or you can look it up again on iTunes because we have a new RSS feed. Okay, so make sure you guys pay attention
to
that.
What's an RSS feed?
Yeah, only the most nerdy of us know what that all means.
Okay, here's the thing, is that I'm old too, and I'm not sure what an RSS
feed you don't
is
know.
Either. But I do know that it has to do with my podcast or our podcast.
Format, what's an RSS feed?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a feed that has to do with Greg's podcast. And it connects to the interwebs.
All right, so you guys figure out what RSS feed is, and then test
all you got to do on iTunes is just look up the Nerd Watch. If you guys want to follow us as well, you can follow us on Nerd Watch. You can subscribe to us on iTunes. You can subscribe to us at Audio Boom as well.
You write us letters.
You can prescribe to us.
You can subscribe and prescribe to us on.
It's pronounced analgesic.
Gosh, Todd, I swear to God.
You made that same joke.
Oh, my gosh. Anyway.
It killed both times.
Yeah, it killed the vibe.
Well, listen.
Nothing gets you going like anal jizz.
I do want to say thank everybody for coming out to the Nerd Watch premiere of Doctor Strange. We did have a good time. I hope you guys did too. I think it was the time that we had an opportunity to talk about it. We also, not all of us, but two of us here got to go watch The Arrival this week as well. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk about that too. But first, let's talk about the super nerdy new Marvel film called Doctor Strange that hit theaters November 4th.
Dr. Strange.
So,
it's like a Ferengi.
Doctor Strange.
This is an unusual.
Ferengi. So let's get right into it, shall we? So let's start at the far end of the table where he's drawing Lizard Man.
Swan!
For some reason. Alika went to go watch Doctor Strange, and what was your impressions of the film?
Yes, what's your impression of Cumberbatch?
Cumberbatch.
Cabbage Patch. He was incredible.
Spoilers, by the way.
Yeah,
lots of spoilers.
But I'm probably not going to spoil it this time, but there's, you know, Marvel's been taking characters that, when I read the comics, I didn't really care for it. I avoided Iron Man, of course. I avoided Doctor Strange. I avoided the Guardians of the Galaxy. And they've taken all these properties and made them, like, the most incredible movies I've ever seen. Like, the special effects alone, especially for Doctor Strange's magic, like, the way they manipulate energy and things like that. And especially when he gets the Eye of Agamotto and the way he opens it, like, with that, you know, the finger gesture and... Oh my god! If I was 8 years old and I saw that, I would be doing that on the playground all the time.
It was pretty awesome how he flipped off the Eye of Agamotto to get it.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, open, damn you!
Light
our darkest hour.
Anything stick out to you at all that you thought was inventive or interesting?
His
or?
Finger gesture.
You know, like the Marvel movies are done so well that I thought that I was gonna you know, be really distracted by Tilda Swinton and whatever. And they, you know, everything was well done in the movie. It's a Disney movie, so you know, you accept a certain level of cornball.
Well, that's when you're in bed with China and you can't have a Tibetan in the lead role there as the ancient one. So anyway.
You don't think that was a director's choice?
No, I do not.
Because you could get almost any...
Did you see
how... You could get Chow Yun-Fat to play that character, and that would have been expected.
Did you see how many Chinese folks were involved in the making of that? I mean,
if you want to follow that logic...
They were all right. Digital artists.
Let's dig in on this
let's
one.
Say, let's go
let's
ahead.
Dig
let's
in
go
on
for
this
it.
One.
Let's go.
Your logic is that this is for the Chinese people.
I would say they are actually surpassing our box office market.
Okay, so then why is it Tilda Swinton and not Chow Yun-Fat or Jackie Chan or Jet Li or Donnie Yen or
because you
dozen other Chinese actors that would sell
the same here? Because
they're not Tibetan either.
The same reason they picked Matt Damon to be in that Great Wall movie is because Chinese people only find white actors interesting. In lead roles.
It's very interesting.
They like Chinese people in every other role except the lead role. That lead role has to be a white person.
Interesting.
And that's how you market to China.
That Wall of China movie with Matt Damon, I thought it just...
I don't know how...
But neither argument makes sense.
Accurate. I don't know how
the
accurate...
Argument makes sense.
I do not know how accurate
that Chinese people like
that.
White leads.
But if that is the case, I mean, look, just to be honest...
I know
I mean,
that's true for like Japanese stuff.
Here's the thing. And this is what I thought was...
There is actually a very... I was watching my grandma's, just to go off on a little tangent here, the Nippon Golden Network, the Japanese network that airs here locally.
Yes.
There's like these soap dramas that she watches in Japan, and there's this one about a white school teacher in like, it's like the 1930s or 40s, and she moves to Japan. And so she's like literally playing a white lady in Japan who, you know, is learning Japanese and getting along. And it's like one of the hit number one shows out there.
Interesting.
Or was last year.
It's interesting because, you know, the uproar about
Americans are just interesting.
We'll get back to Doctor Strange in a minute. But the interesting thing about everybody being
fascinating.
The I guess Constance Wu, I guess her name is, was all up in arms about Matt Damon being in a movie called The Great Wall with a bunch of Chinese actors and an amazing Chinese director, Zhang Yimou, which is
It
awesome.
Is a Chinese production.
Right. And what's interesting is
they're doing exactly what we're doing here.
Right.
We make a film here, right. We bring in right. Chinese actor here, Chinese
yeah,
actor.
Matt Damon over there is like Jet Li over here.
But it's not but
it
it's,
probably is. Probably is. It probably is.
Unless of course you believe that dragons really existed, I really don't think it matters if Matt Damon's in the movie or if it's part of Chinese it's not part of Chinese history,
well,
right?
CG,
or is there something
that's
wrong with
where
that?
You show your ignorance.
Is it?
Because in ancient China, dragons
that's
did
where,
exist, and all Asians can fly.
Well, hey, everybody knows that. I saw Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
In Alika's famous words, forgive my white privilege. So I'm very sorry that I didn't even know that.
We're going to go back to Doctor Strange.
Anyway, let's get back
I
to
I still
Strange.
Feel like that was actually a director's choice.
You think so?
To defy
the director came out and said it was his choice.
Oh, okay. I didn't
because
know that.
Yeah. I mean, think about it. It would be the same problem.
Tibetans
as,
can't act.
It would be the same problem as the Mandarin. You're going to cast somebody to play what's a stereotypical Asian character. It's a no-win situation.
Now that we got Doctor Strange, though, we could get Fing Fang Foom, which would be awesome.
I doubt it.
But dragons don't exist.
That's
in
what
your
Fantastic
world.
Four. Fing Fang Foom is the license is with Fantastic
yeah.
Four.
Is it really? I didn't know that. Yeah.
Man, you're stupid, man.
I didn't know that.
So was Ego, which we got from Fox because
they switched.
Yeah, we read about that. Anyway, anything else that stuck out to you there, Dr. Alika?
Oh, we're still on me?
Yeah. I don't have to be on you. I can move over.
No, the,
what?
The movie was great. I had a great time, like every
can
Marvel
I be
movie. You know,
can
and
I
this is the spoiler. What they did really well was Dormammu and how they made the, you know,
false.
The
wrong. False.
No, I liked it.
Oh,
I, because the way the art looked like how you would.
Did
you're
you
like
flaming head? You
in the
flaming head,
in
you?
The comic, you're imagining like this purple energy. With sock lines in it, like Baron Zemo. Why is he wearing a sock on his head?
Sure,
it's like
sure.
a cosmic thing. And then they kind of like figure it out in the ripples in his face. And Todd.
No.
That was another excuse that Benedict Cumberbatch talked to himself.
We will get to Todd in a minute, but you liked the way Dormammu was portrayed.
I liked it.
All right. Well, Format, sir, you're next.
I thought it was great. I thought it was... I mean, if you're expecting something new from the Marvel camp, you will be sorely disappointed. It's tried and true because that's what works.
Mm.
It's the same hero story that we always get. Yeah.
Sorry if my nose
people. It's a tale of redemption. But yeah, seriously, it's he redeems himself in the end. Yada yada yada. Magic, hocus pocus, blah.
It sounds like you were a little more disappointed than happy with it.
No. I was stoked about it. Don't get me wrong. for me, the biggest thing was that they were introducing magic for the first time to the Marvel Universe. Because everything that was supposed to be magic before this movie got explained away with some kind of science mumbo-jumbo that Marvel made up.
And as we all know, science isn't real.
Mjolnir.
At least climate science, right, G?
That's right. That's right. Global
right?
warming.
Right?
Such a hoax.
Global warming leads to rainbow bridges.
That's right. That's right. Global warming is about as real as magic.
Right. Whatever. Dragons
anyway.
Exist.
That's the name of this pod, by the way. Global warming leads to rainbow bridges.
And lobias.
I think global warming is as real as magic is just as good. Anyway,
it was good. Yeah, good. I was really happy about it. The sting. Like I did notice that there were a few continuity errors, but that's it's a Marvel movie.
Well, we'll talk about that very. We'll get an in depth about that very shortly here. Todd, what about you, sir?
I can't believe they got Spider-Man.
Wrong.
In another movie. Can't believe it.
Wrong.
Wrong.
You were there, Todd. What did you think of Doctor Strange, sir? I mean, I know that... Okay, let's preface this by saying this. For those of you that are listening for the first time or what have you, and want to get our thoughts on Doctor Strange, Todd is not exactly a cheerleader for Marvel by any stretch. So
he doesn't like things.
Correct. So Todd,
he doesn't like things that every other normal person enjoys and loves.
So, no, Barry hates this movie.
Wait a minute, he does not. But
well, he gave it like 2 stars.
No, he actually gave it 3.
That's high praise for
him.
He
gave it 3.
3 out of 5.
3 out of 5.
See, okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah. So Todd, what is it about this movie? Did you like it? Did you not like it? What did you get out of Doctor Strange?
Absolute garbage.
you're not being helpful. Come on, kind of elaborate a bit.
Oh man. Well, so when it's garbage, you just dispose of it, and then
you're such a...
they usually take it, and put it in a truck, and then dump it somewhere. So that's I think what they're going to do with it.
Or if you're in Denmark, they roast it.
I understand your disdain for Marvel, but basing it as a movie critique, come on.
So would you prefer Professor Barry gave a 0-star review to this one?
I'm shocked that he didn't.
You're such a scrub. Will you get to your real review?
You know, maybe something else that'll end up
what
in
if
the
that
garbage
is, real
is your opinion.
Yeah, that is true.
Of this movie, which is also
I got to
garbage.
See this movie a week before it came out in New Zealand.
Right.
So I saw it twice. I've seen it twice. And I liked it better than Civil War. I think that it was more coherent. There was just one single thread.
Got it.
There was nothing as far. It wasn't goofy enough for me. Like Guardians of the Galaxy.
There was not enough dance battles.
Okay.
There was not. Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, I kind of figured that the material.
The cloak was like Aladdin's carpet. He was like comic relief.
That was, but that's something that like you get from most of the Marvel movies anyway.
Come on, Chuck Mangione was in it. Feels so good.
So well. Yeah,
I give them props on the cloak. Like they actually treated that thing with respect.
Yeah,
I was expecting when I first heard that the cloak was going to be CGI, I was expecting Spawn, and I was like, oh no!
Oh, you mean like the really flamboyantly
where it
big
just flares out all the time just for no reason?
Yeah, gotcha.
But yeah, they like the detail. I mean, it actually looked like cloth.
It looked like a fabric cloth. Yeah,
exactly.
It did. It looked like fabric. You're right.
It was actually really, really well done.
Yeah. So, Todd, sir, what else?
My wife and I saw this movie for our anniversary, like our 4-year wedding anniversary.
Oh, you did?
And I was like, I can't believe we don't get to go out very much because of the toddler. So we were we went out for a dinner and a movie, and I was like, what movie do you want to go see? And she was like, I don't know what's playing. And then I looked up, and I'm like, I can't believe this is out already, like a week early. Can we go see this? And she was like, yeah, because I love you.
Was she is that excited about it?
Yeah, she was. I was like, thanks for letting me go see this. And I can't believe you're letting me see a comic book movie on our anniversary. And she's like, what? I'm married.
She's like, I can't either.
No, she's like, I married a nerd. I'm totally used to it. These are the only type of movies that we see.
She's so, like, ah.
So what is your professional
critique?
And
then you complain about them for the next 2 days.
Yeah, right. So what is your critique on it, sir, so far? What did you...
I wish they would have done something different. Like seeing something like The Arrival, where...
Which we'll talk about later.
Woo!
Thanks a lot.
It's my intro music.
Jeez Louise. Anyway.
Seeing something like... You know, The Arrival was smart and...
Thought-provoking,
and Doctor Strange could have been that.
Huh.
But they didn't want to mess with the formula.
Sure.
So they've got. It seems like they've these Marvel movies have hit their like threshold, and they're like, this is the formula that works.
Right.
We don't care if it's good, but we know that if we do it like this, people will
like
it,
right.
and people see it enough that we'll make a ton of money from it. I will be so shocked if a Marvel movie ever wins anything else besides a technical award. Just because they don't, it seems like they take the material seriously, but they don't treat it seriously enough to create a piece of art. It's just a popcorn flick.
Right.
So within that, like, I think that this was a little bit better of a Marvel movie, but most of them are all kind of, they're all garbage.
That's conviction.
And we'll get back to you on this, but I think it's okay to be entertained. I don't know. Maybe I'm not to Todd.
That is occasion for rebuke.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy that? Pardon me.
I guess so. I don't know.
Is that what you did for your anniversary? Like, you guys went out to the lobby and was like, did you like that? I hope you did.
I hope you hated it as much as I did.
That's and he saying. Handed out pamphlets on the coming independent comic apocalypse.
Right?
Well, in
the end is nigh, brothers.
In New Zealand, they didn't. The comic book industry kind of failed between 1960 and 1975. Like, there were no comics being imported, and there were no comic book publishers locally.
Uh-huh.
So then in the 1970s, it came back. And they started getting more imports, but all the local comic books in New Zealand are very much underground, black and white.
Interesting.
The really popular ones, and then a lot of them became super popular in Europe and got translated into other languages, and then came back to New Zealand and became popular.
Then. Interesting.
So, when I went to see this movie, it was opening night.
Uh-huh.
There was six other people in the film.
No way.
And when I in the theater, and so when I asked people at Armageddon Expo, like who their favorite comic book character was, one person said Spider-Man, and that was the only time I heard anybody talk about American superhero comics.
Interesting.
They don't
respond to it.
They don't really think that that's entertaining.
Of course. Uh-huh. Anyway, we'll get back to you. And by the way, we're going to get back to your comment about Dormammu and you and Alika disagreeing on that momentarily. But let's get to Gannon's thoughts about the film first. Gannon, sir, what did you think of Doctor Strange?
I have to say, I see it on everybody's. I kind of see everybody's point of view on it. I would definitely say the formula is. If you can't see the formula to a Marvel film at this point, then you're blind.
Right.
You really are. The villain is very brushstrokes. There's nothing to him, really. He's almost identical to every other Marvel villain. And I swear to God, if you go look at all of the pods where we talk about a Marvel film, I say the exact same thing. If it's not Loki, he's a very boring villain.
Yeah. Okay.
It plays straight across the board for every single one.
Point.
What they thrive good at, and it's always going to be the thing that makes Marvel movies kind of succeed, is that they put a lot of thought into building up the initial character of the piece.
Right.
They put a lot of care into making sure it's a character with charisma, a character that registers with an audience. The problem is, though, the only ones that seem to be working along those lines are ones that follow what Robert Downey Jr. does.
Okay.
I think Marvel fans kind of come at it with kind of rose-colored glasses and say, oh, this is exactly what I've always wanted. But I guarantee you a lot of these characters weren't quite like that in the comics. But because they're very charismatic on film is what people actually like. I don't think the Doctor Strange of the movie is the same Doctor Strange from the book.
I do not
believe that. And I can't really say from any knowing place I've read Doctor Strange books. But I'll bet you he's not Tony Stark-ish, which there was a little bit of that Tony Stark flavor to that
edge,
character.
Yeah,
little bit of the edge, a little bit of the humor. Yeah. The girl's character, oh my God, Rachel McAdams. She's playing the same role that Natalie Portman played.
It's weird because she almost felt like she
just
was going
to
be...
needed to be a girl character there.
It felt like
she didn't really have much to play in.
Yeah, you're right.
I mean, when Ant-Man came along, at least eventually Lily had more to do.
She was actually Dormammu. That was like,
stop it. Stop it. Anyway.
But, you know, the visuals.
That's what I'm talking about. True to comic.
The visuals are great. The
underwear
visuals,
on
the
outside.
The visuals are great, but when you're watching the visuals in the trailer, you're actually hoping that the visuals that you're seeing actually have more stakes to play in the overall story or the battle.
Right.
And they don't. Because they set up this idea of the Shadow Realm or whatever. So basically, he's just really fighting the bad guys in a shadow version of the world. So therefore, nothing really affects the actual world, just them.
The mirror.
And
in the upside down.
And the stakes are automatically gone already.
Right.
And that's, you know.
Well, they can't have another Man of Steel.
No.
Or they just destroy.
But everything. I mean,
they can't.
Well, it's the one thing that I can defend a DC movie on is that there's so, at least it's speaking just for Man of Steel, there's stakes, there's things involved, things happen, it affects the world.
Right.
When a Marvel film, when a Marvel film happens and you watch the next film, it's almost like, oh, did you hear about how this happened in New York City? It's just like this is weird happenstance type of thing.
Sure, okay.
Not like the world is afraid of these things happening all the time, which would be true.
That makes sense. You're right.
But yeah, I enjoyed it on the sense that it's an entertaining movie that, you know, Benedict Cumberbatch can't fail, apparently. The effects were great, despite the fact there's no stakes involved in the fights. But again, it's that Marvel formula, and I think it's the Marvel formula that's, as much as it's been pushing the comic book film industry, it's also going to be the detriment to the comic book film industry.
Yeah, it's your true. It's your very right.
I think they're only going to be able to get away with it for a few more tries.
Yeah, like 13 or 14 more times.
At least. It's going to be a lot sooner than that. But the thing with Doctor Strange, and I think what Tyler's trying to get at, is that there's a lot of potential to mine actual interesting territory. But it just feels like, let's just take this magic-based character and throw it through the Iron Man machine. It's the way it came
across
to me. I
can't wait for the Thanos movie. Where you know he breaks his hands and then has to build a glove to perform surgeries and then discovers magic.
Well, I have to tell you that
and then leaves Rachel McAdams.
I can see everybody's point, but I have to tell you, I will agree with
because we all liked it. You were like, oh, I hate it.
I will agree with. I'll agree with Format and Gannon's take on the thing being the fact that it is a very Marvel-esque formula. We already know what the formula is. I am going to say this, though. I think that Doctor Strange is my second favorite Marvel movie now. I think Doctor Strange is...
right after Iron Man?
right after Winter Soldier.
Ant-Man?
I thought that I think
that political intrigue.
Let me get to the point first. Doctor Strange, Benedict Cumberbatch was a lot better than I ever expected. I didn't think he was going to be that good, to be honest with you.
I knew he was going to knock it out.
I didn't think he was going to be that good.
He cannot fail at anything.
I will say this.
Yeah, him and that British piggy nose.
Dude, he fought himself in the movie.
And here's the thing, is that Benedict Cumberbatch not only did a good job.
Marvel movie, they always fight himself.
He knocked it out of the park. He did a great job. He is Doctor Strange.
I said the same
thing.
Well,
that's what it said in the credits.
Okay, shut up.
Like the way Ryan Reynolds is Deadpool, the way, you know, Robert Downey Jr. is Tony Stark. Yeah. Cumberbatch is
Doctor Strange.
Is Doctor Strange?
Yeah, and I really thought I like Rachel McAdams, but I felt like we were getting something interesting from her in the beginning, and then all of a
sudden
when
did she get powers? Do we know?
And then all of a sudden, I don't know, but all of a sudden she became like a second. She became like a secondary figure in the film, and it just didn't feel like she could have been played by anybody.
She became another cloak.
She was like that girlfriend.
She could have been played by Sylvester Stallone. The
first wife in Watchmen.
Yeah,
she slowly gets left behind on Earth while
They should have just CG'd her.
I'm going to tell you something. I will say this: CGI'd the reason her. Why
Andy Serkis should have played that character.
The reason why I like this movie so much is because I saw it do things that most Marvel movies or any of the Marvel movies have ever done before. It took some really interesting chances. And let me tell you how and why.
Okay. Oh, the ending was different.
I'll get to the ending in a minute.
Yes.
But what I thought was interesting is that it took a lot of interesting chances and the fact is that once we are familiar with Strange and his, and the abilities that he can possess, when we, you know, you're asking the people that watch Marvel movies that don't read the Marvel books, you're asking them to buy into a magic realm where people have out-of-body experiences. And they're fighting on an etheric plane. I hope I'm using that word correctly.
It's the astral plane.
Astral plane. Thank you.
You dummy.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank me for making me feel inferior. I think it's interesting because it reminded me a lot of the Frighteners. These people were fighting in another on another plane of existence while the humans were still there. I thought that that was fascinating. That realm, I mean, you would it almost felt like it should have been a joke, but it wasn't taken as such. You've got people floating around out of their bodies. Moving on. You have an amazing ending. I thought that the ending, the way they played that with time slowly going backwards and how Strange shouldn't have manipulated time and things of that nature. I like the way they ended the film, where it wasn't all fist and fury like most Marvel movies. It was about the mind, conquering over might, which I thought was very cool. I really thought that that was fascinating, and I think they did a very good job.
That they ripped off two movies?
Well, listen, I will say this. I will say this, too. You guys are right that I thought that Caecilius was... You can never feel like he's a bad guy because he's like the forerunner to the actual bad guy, and we only see the bad guy for like 5 minutes at the end of the film.
But it's like every other movie. His point of view, he's doing right.
Right. It's just unfortunate we're never given the opportunity to... Caecilius is never a threat because he's always talking about Dormammu this and Dormammu
that. When my daddy
that.
Comes.
Right, exactly. That's what it sounds like. He feels like a forerunner.
You guys are going to be sorry.
Yeah, you guys are going to be so sorry. So I have to say that you guys are right about that. I thought we haven't mentioned, but I thought that Chiwetel Ejiofor's portrayal
is
Mordo.
Is that how you say that?
I believe I thought that he actually did a very good job. They really, really sped up that story, by the way. It felt like
multiple story arcs that they finished in like half an hour.
Like a half an hour. And where all of a sudden Mordo is now a nemesis of Strange.
You know, the thing that surprised me was it was paced really well.
No, yeah, it was.
Like for something that was just short of 2 hours, like it felt short.
If it went on any longer, I bet you anything that we could have just nitpicked that whole thing. If it went another half hour, went like 2 hours and 20 minutes, we could have like nitpicked the heck out of that movie. But it was moving so quickly that there were a lot of holes in the story and things like that never get resolved. But we never pay attention to those because we're so enamored with the story that we're getting, and it's over before we can even ask any real questions. Is what I thought was good. So for that, I have to say that.
Here, look at the shiny thing.
Right. No, but that's what it feels like. Like, here, look at this shiny, cool thing. Look at the
Infinity Gem.
Yeah, exactly. It's an Infinity Gem. Yeah, yeah. So,
I'm sorry. In the movies, it's Infinity Stones.
Infinity Stones, sorry. Correct. I will say that the cloak was amazing. I thought that they did a very good job with the cloak.
It was its own character.
It was his own character. Yeah. They did a good job with that cloak.
You know,
it was fascinating.
If Colin was watching that movie, he'd be like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can buy the file that the CG guy used to animate that cloak.
I like.
Wait till they see my version of that.
I thought that although Dormammu at the ending was underwhelming, the effects surrounding what had happened and how
and the Ditko realm.
Yeah, the Ditko realm with they paid homage to Ditko, which was very cool with some of the visuals. That was phenomenal. But overall, I thought it was good. I gave it 3.5 stars. I really liked it. I had a good time with it. And although there were flaws with the film, some of it felt like it was being played in fast forward for me a bit. But I really liked the movie. But what now I'm interested in is the whole Dormammu thing with you and with Todd and Alika. Hey, Todd. Todd.
Yes, sir.
What's the problem with Dormammu? And why is he wrong? Why is Alika wrong?
He was reduced to a giant, like, puffy cloud at the end of the... Like, it was basically...
They Galactus'd you.
They Galactus'd him. It would have been nice to see him... I think it was just lazy. I think that they were just like, oh, he's just this giant head. He's going to go fight this giant head the size of a planet. And I didn't... And they could have done something more clever to visualize him, I think. Than just, you know, make him, you know, planet.
Alika, and you say?
Based on the limited experiences I've had with Dormammu, which is his which is his appearances on covers of Doctor Strange comics, where he's a giant, disembodied, floating, flaming head, I thought they nailed it.
It's interesting. I never thought of it that way, but you're absolutely right.
So I don't know.
I just think that he didn't feel like a threat. You know, like it didn't feel.
He felt more like a threat than Cassilius did, don't you think? Or is that, am I wrong?
I think the main problem is that he was even in the movie.
You know what really?
I think they should have held on to him.
No, I was glad he was in it because Cassilius would not have been enough stakes for that movie.
I actually
Dormammu was great. It was a great
I
way to end
with
on.
With a leak on that. There would not have been any stakes if Dormammu wasn't in it.
But the thing I was really disappointed in is at the end of the movie where he hangs up the Eye of Agamotto and walks away like he. And this is me as a costume stickler. Is the costume is not complete without the cape and the Eye of Agamotto around his neck.
Right.
And, you know, he had the blue duds on. That's great. But he needs that cape and the eye. But when he put the eye back on the stand, I'm like, what are you doing, bro?
He's not going to walk around with it all day, every day.
He better.
He's not going to go to Safeway magic, wearing the Eye of Agamotto.
Magic can attack you at any time.
That's true.
They can
inception the hallways, and you'll be like in the middle of a wizard fight.
So hang on.
It's like Wolverine without his purple thong on.
Now, hang on a minute.
See, that's the other problem, is that all the things that you guys talk about that you liked, we've seen in other movies. You said it yourself. He just called it inceptioned the grocery store. You said Frighteners. Yeah. You also talked about time reversing back. That's the ending of Superman the movie.
Yeah.
True. So,
and look,
it's but recycling I like all these great ideas. Movies.
But put it this way, have you ever had cake? Cake is good, right?
Cake's good?
Have you ever had pudding?
Yeah.
Have you ever had Kit Kats?
Yeah.
Have you ever had whipped cream?
Yeah.
Those are all good separately, right?
Yeah.
Mash those up in a damn bowl. It's called Sex in a Pan, and it's better than all four of those things separately.
Oh my gosh. I never
okay?
thought of it that way.
And that's what Doctor Strange is. It's the sex in the pan of Marvel movies. It's all that good stuff in a pan, and you eat it. Who cares what order it's in?
I just
eat it.
I kind of feel like if these movies didn't exist in a machine where movies are like projected years in advance.
You know,
The director was given a chance to truly tell a story with that character, it would not be that story. That's what I'm going to say.
I agree.
Because they have to play the Marvel game of the Marvel formula, and because of that, you can't push too far. I guarantee you, the typical Marvel formula is like, okay, so here's your characters, here's essentially what we want you to do, go nuts.
Right.
But if you start going a little bit too much this direction with this, you got to get back on course. You go a little bit too much in that direction, you got to get back on course. So it's a shame because they're getting these great directors that have actual artistic flourishes and actually great ideas and great visual eyes, but they're basically being told to like, okay, you're working at McDonald's now. This is the only way to make this cheeseburger.
Really annoyed me about the rest of it was fine to Marvel form, whatever. I'm not complaining about any of it. The only thing that was like so formulaically Marvel was that they had to have Doctor Strange and Wong have that relationship throughout the movie, where at the very end, even the laughter from Wong seems forced. Like, you know how they have, you know, there's always that ongoing joke that ties the movie together.
That's right.
Between, you know, the hero and somebody. And it's like this back and forth. And then at the end, something gives. And that's like the big joke at the end.
Interesting.
Like, you know, Wong laughing at the end is like the big joke.
That
was the only thing that was so formulaic. Like, I bet there's an instance of that in every Marvel movie.
Wong is a more interesting character than the villain. That's true. It's true, though. Think about it.
Yeah, you're right.
Think about it.
Yeah, because he's head of the Chinese.
He makes more of an impact in that movie sanctum. Than the villain does. That's a problem.
The Hong Kong Sanctum.
Hong Kong Sanctum.
There you go.
Sorry.
People get a little ticked off about that. Yeah. So he's
especially you imperialists.
Yeah. It's true. I have to say, though, I thought Doctor Strange was well done. And
it's entertaining. It's not a bad film. It's a shame that we don't have a chance to see anybody explore with these movies.
Okay, let's put it this way. We don't have time to get into this because we got to talk about one more movie. But look at DC. They tried to take chances with Man of Steel and with Batman v Superman and with.
And I'll tell you this: people are going to still be talking about those movies for those things more so than some of these Marvel films.
But
I'll tell you that
you have to have a healthy balance of daring and having you be at least somewhat of a modicum of success. And I think maybe it is a formula, but you know what? I mean, look, Star Wars is a formula, but everybody wants to see another movie. Pirates is another formula. Everybody wants to see another movie.
Are you sure? I don't think anybody's excited about another Pirates film.
Look, that thing – look, if the box office numbers hold, everybody can't wait to see the next Transformers movie. That thing makes money hand over fist.
But that's okay.
Format is crying
right now. I do not. I cannot cotton to the whole Transformers thing because you know what? That's specifically targeted to small children. It really, really, really is. Yeah. They're not made for a wide audience. They're strictly made for the kids. They're flat out kids films. Okay. So I think they're a tiny bit more exempt than the other movies we're actually talking about.
I'll afford you that. Okay.
But I completely forgot what the hell the point was now after all that.
They're all for.
I was so crazy to just slam that. Star Wars is another thing though. I mean, Force Awakens, yeah, it's palatable and some of the fans liked it. But I know just as many fans that are starting to say stuff now, like, you know what, The Phantom Menace was at least something different.
You're looking at the guy when Force Awakens came out said that Force Awakens sucked, and I still believe that.
That's another example of what happens when you start building off of formula and not off of story.
And that's
why you get good movies.
That's not true.
And that's why I still say George Lucas's prequels were still better than Force Awakens.
Execution level, those movies are terrible.
True. I will agree with that.
If he had somebody else handling more of the writing.
Agreed.
The stories would have been a lot stronger.
That is definitely fair to say. Although
Force Awakens is flat out like, okay, here's what the kids are going to like. Here's how many toys we can sell. You know what? Everybody wants to see more girls as the leads of movies, so let's have the character be a female
guy.
Which is fine, but it's based off of what an audience wants and not necessarily off of a story.
Just as long as they're not Ghostbusters.
The original Star Wars.
Yeah, that's right.
The original Star Wars films were original. They came from a place of inspiration.
Sure.
Force Awakens is coming from a place of marketing and merchandise.
And let's be honest.
It shows.
The new edition of The Force Awakens came out today, the 3D edition, and it has a...
And then we shill for it.
No.
But
here's the thing. There's a commentary on there about J.J. Abrams that he says that he explains why the film felt so familiar and it felt like the first movie.
Because it was the first movie.
I agree with that. I really do. I knew there was a purpose behind it, and I can't wait to hear the commentary on that. JJ always has good commentaries. So that's the only reason why I'm going to pick it up, even though I hate that freaking movie.
I mean, it just sucks that the kind of movies we have now are not coming from a place of storytelling anymore.
They're really not. And that's the thing, and that's what's going on in Hollywood. Every movie
I mean,
has
we
to
get
be.
Excited about them just as much as the next guy, because we're always hoping the potential's there that maybe there's going to be that one that sticks out and gets all the things right that we want to see. It's probably never going to happen because, like I said, it's all about formula and marketing strategies. You know, these films are not made because somebody has a unique vision anymore.
Well, and here's the thing, and that leads us right into the next movie that Todd and I saw, and this is why I think that movies like Marvel's and the Star Wars series and such become such moneymakers, because when you do have something as inventive as what we saw last night at the theater, it doesn't get any recognition. At least any it doesn't get it gets recognition, but it doesn't get the box office it deserves. We ended up watching The Arrival yesterday, Todd and I did. That is I'm putting up my review for it on MaiWatch.com tomorrow. It is a phenomenal sci-fi epic. It is hard sci-fi, and it is, in my opinion, probably one of the best pictures of the year. And it takes some very daring chances. And it does some things with sci-fi you've never seen before. It's based off of a book, and it's an amazing piece of movie, of cinema. And I have to tell you that if you want something that is the antithesis of Independence Day, you need to see The Arrival. It is hard sci-fi. It's very well done. It's thought-provoking. But when you watch that movie, you'll realize why movies like Marvel's and Star Wars get made. I mean, that's the thing, is that Amy Adams was great. The story was very well told. The director did a fantastic job. Matter of fact, I think Todd really liked the movie as well. Did you not?
I liked it a little bit more than Civil War. No, I mean, I thought that it was fantastic, and I think that, I hope it gets the recognition that it deserves. It was one of those you. In a sci-fi film, you want to see it take chances.
Yeah.
And it took chances. The twist was a great twist at the end.
It wasn't just a twist. It was almost like, and not to interrupt you, Todd, but what happens is it feels like, it doesn't feel like a twist. It feels like a revelation.
Yeah.
That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
And once
don't spoil it. I didn't see it yet.
I won't. But once that revelation is revealed to you, all of a sudden this light goes on in your head, and all of a sudden these possibilities start floating through your mind, and you're like, holy crap.
Yeah.
That is amazing. That's exactly what The Arrival did to me when I was sitting there watching it. It was phenomenal. And unfortunately, it's just not making the box office that it should. Great movie, not making the box office.
To be fair, the marketing for it kind of sucks.
I think, to be honest with you,
there's not as much emphasis on marketing this film as you would see anything else.
I will agree with you, there's no emphasis on marketing, but I do like
I probably see more trailers for Neighbors 2 than The Arrival.
I will agree with that. But if you want to see some very good sci-fi, thought-provoking sci-fi, sci-fi that makes you think, sci-fi that will blow your mind.
Not the Charlie Sheen The Arrival.
No, that's a great, you should watch that too, because that's actually good too.
Or The Arrival 2.
The Arrival 2 was terrible. Watch the first Arrival. That's good.
Watch the first Arrival and then that Arrival.
Yes, yes, yes. Watch the new Arrival with Amy
and Adams. Tune into Nerdwatch next week when we all arrive.
That's right.
And don't forget to see the French version, the debut.
By the way, just to let everybody know, Jeremy Renner is also in The Arrival, and he's never looked happier in a film role.
He was a pretty happy guy in The Hurt Locker.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, he wasn't?
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
Not at all.
Oh. I guess
you know he was excited to be in. Oh, wait, he wasn't in Jason Bourne, was he?
Hey, listen, he was in Bourne Legacy, and he did a dang good job of that. Anyway,
I'm actually hoping that The Arrival and then that new Jennifer Lawrence movie with Chris Pratt,
Passengers.
I'm really hoping for this, and I'm going to be a very big cheerleader for it. I'm hoping that those two movies are going to kind of start a sci-fi renaissance.
Yeah.
Because it's been a while since sci-fi has been a really strong thing for Hollywood.
That's kind of why I was so excited when Oblivion came out, because I know it was a lot of recycled ideas. I enjoyed Oblivion a lot. I just want to see a lot of those blockbuster sci-fi films.
I would just love to see high concept sci-fi movies become a big deal again.
I'm going to tell you,
Oblivion, that was more of a Tom Cruise.
The twist at the end kind of messed me up, though.
That was good, though.
Yeah, it's not a bad movie,
but because it's such a
star, I can't watch it again. But the first
time
I watched it was amazing.
It was unfortunate. The execution wasn't the way they made the film, the way it looked was fantastic. It just, the execution of the story just didn't work as well as it should have, and it should have been more of a revelation at the end instead of what we got, which I thought it was
a pretty good surprise.
I thought it was okay.
I mean, the last couple of sci-fi movies that I've seen that really kind of I liked a lot was Gravity. I thought was pretty interesting.
Gravity, I love Gravity.
And then
I don't.
Interstellar. I thought Interstellar was pretty interesting too.
Interstellar's cool.
Interstellar is cool.
Those two movies I thought were going to. I think we're getting Passenger and we're getting The Arrival because of those movies more than something like Oblivion. Oblivion. I think Oblivion looked cool, super cool. But it wasn't. I wouldn't say that it was like a thought-provoking sci-fi.
It's what happens when a cool concept for a sci-fi movie comes along, and then you put Tom Cruise in it.
Right? Yeah, it's true.
Because if you put like an up-and-coming actor in it, then it's more of a high-concept sci-fi piece.
You know what was
opposed to a Tom Cruise.
But you know what was high-concept and also very good, and I still don't think it gets enough recognition. Edge of Tomorrow.
Which is getting a sequel.
I like Oblivion way better than Edge of Tomorrow.
Really?
What?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, that's interesting. I will say this, getting back on The Arrival, and I don't know if Todd agrees with me or not, The Arrival has the potential to be a rival to, or put on the list of some of the best sci-fi ever. It has the opportunity to be right up there with Close Encounters, has an opportunity to be up there with Contact and with War of the Worlds.
Contact is up there.
Contact was a great movie.
Technically, for as much as for as much as I can't stand,
you're the only two people I've ever heard that liked that movie since it came out 20
really?
Years ago.
Really?
Only two.
For as much as I think that Carl Sagan, for as much as he is a guy who doesn't believe in God and all this other stuff, that movie that he wrote was still a very fascinating look into what would it be like. And yes, I will admit that the ending is kind of a downer, a disappointment. For sure.
No way. I think they left it in the perfect place.
John Carter's Ghosts of Mars was better than Contact.
John Carpenter's, you mean?
Did I say Carter?
You said John Carter of Mars?
Oh, Warlord. Man, Warlord.
That yeah, you did.
John Carter Warlord.
Man, I'm stupid, man.
He's stupid, bro. But I think that Arrival has potential to be just as good as and put in the same breath as District 9. And how good that was. And, no, District 9 was good, though.
I like District 9, but
District
I can see where
good,
people would make fun of that
one.
I
put it into
one,
the yeah. idea of, like, heady sci-fi yeah. film.
Would you? You wouldn't?
I would.
Not. That's interesting.
Well, that's more of a socio-political commentary
yeah,
kind
true.
Of movie.
Good,
it's not
okay.
really
All right, maybe you're right.
Because it's not about aliens, really.
Sure, sure, sure. Good
aliens
point.
Are just the backdrop to telling a story.
All right, good point.
Yeah. About the apartheid.
Yeah.
I appreciate District 9, and I think that the action in that was really great, too. But the Arrival, even with the twist at the end, and this is something that you see with Oblivion, like, you saw it once, right? So,
yeah.
And once you see it and you know the twist, it's kind of not going to hold the same kind of suspense,
I know what you're
going to
bring
right?
up, yeah.
But with the twist,
The revelation,
you know, with Arrival, there's, you can rewatch it, and you could probably rewatch the last 25 or 35 minutes of that movie and still kind of come away like, okay, I get it, but... There's still something else to see.
It You're could also go here. Yeah. Or did I think about this correctly? Is this right?
Yeah.
It's just there's so many questions that you're like – that. It's not that you're not satisfied with the movie, but there's so many ways that you can think about this film that you are just floored by what the potential is once that revelation is revealed to you. It is, and just remember, it's like I said, it's the antithesis of Independence Day. So we're not looking at – we're not seeing ships flying through the air and laser beams shooting at each other and things like – that's not what
Welcome
this is.
To Earth.
Yeah, we're not – Will Smith isn't saying welcome to Earth, so just be prepared. It's something a little.
How did this movie get made? When you think about it,
well, it's because
like Hollywood is so franchise specific now.
Well,
like, how does a movie like that?
It's the director,
Denis Villeneuve, I believe. He's a French director. He did a film. Several films. One called Prisoners, starring Hugh Jackman and Jake Gyllenhaal. If you've never seen Prisoners, that is a fantastic movie. He also did another movie with Jake Gyllenhaal called Enemy. And he did what was the other film he did? Oh, I cannot think of it, but Prisoners is one that you definitely need to watch. That's a good one as well. But whatever you do, please, if you like heady sci-fi, and if you want something that's good repeat viewing, it's The Arrival. So they did a very, very good job at that on that film. Yeah, look up Denis. He spells his name D-E-N-I-S, and it's V-I-L-L. N-U-E-V-E, I believe. Anyway, Denise? I'm not really caught up on my French.
He's going to do Blade Runner 2049.
Oh, that's right. He is doing Blade Runner.
Sicario.
Sicario. That's the other one. Sicario. The other one. About the Mexican drug trade. That's a great movie, by the way. Anywho. Before we get out of here, it's almost time for us to get out of here. Anybody want to touch on anything? stop it. anybody playing any new games? Anybody watching any new television? We haven't talked about Walking Dead in the last 3 weeks. Hope everybody's caught up.
This is the episode to talk about.
I know. Should we save it or should we talk about it now? I mean, we only got another maybe 6 or 7 minutes left. 6 minutes left.
Anybody
I
watch?
Missed it.
Just wait.
So you guys can talk about it. It's
should
fine.
We wait?
Because I'm going to catch you anyway.
Well, this week's that just happened was the reappearance of Negan and everything.
Hour and a half long episode.
Yeah. Wow.
Oh, right. So you didn't see it then.
I didn't see it either. That's what I'm saying.
We shouldn't bother talking about it.
You get to see Rick look like a whipped little puppy. You get to see Daryl look even worse. Well, now, this is the episode. If you were, you know, the first episode of the season, you were talking about tapping out. Why? But this episode is like, okay.
Actually,
they kind of
the
neutered all my favorite characters.
The ratings
so.
Have gotten consistently lower since the first episode.
Interesting.
I was just reading an article about how
the first episode was so like world breaking, you know, record breaking.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But it's been downhill since.
Well, we'll talk about that next week then. We'll talk more about Walking Dead. or The Half Walking Dead. We'll talk about more about The Flash next week as well. By the way, if you guys have not caught up on Lethal Weapon is the sleeper hit of the fall. I think it is great. So please,
it's a lot better than MacGyver.
I'm getting too old for this stuff.
Oh, and I just want to go on record as saying Black Mirror. I was ranting and raving how good it was. The last two episodes suck.
Oh wow,
they're terrible.
Don't watch it.
Don't watch the last two episodes.
The new Kevin James movie is out on Netflix if you want to watch it.
Why are we even talking about
that?
Yeah,
wow. Okay. Why did you even...
Good God.
Because yeah. I like his new...
What the hell is the matter with you?
I like his new sitcom, Kevin Can Wait. I like that show. I got it.
Keep waiting.
Yeah, keep waiting until the next episode.
Kevin, keep waiting.
Yeah, you guys...
Hold your breath and keep waiting for me to watch.
You guys are terrible. Anyway...
I'm sure he's a great guy, but no.
I'm sure he is. Pick up your Force Awakens special edition out on Blu-ray today as well. And
because G loves it.
Pick up your copy of A New Hope 3D edition.
Yeah, that piece of...
Starring a bunch of new actors and some of the older ones.
Star Wars trash is what we call it.
Well, I wasn't going to go that far.
That should have been... Wow. That should have been put in the...
No, man. You can't call it that. It had lightsabers.
The Death Star dumpster is where it should have been put.
There was no Death Star.
Oh, well... If there was.
Man, you stupid man.
By the way.
There's a trash compactor.
There is a trash compactor. Thank you. Trash compactor. That's what I meant. And then, of course, digital HD exclusive until December the 15th, I think?
I think it's 13th.
Trash compactor
is it 13th?
Edition.
I think it's 13th.
Until December 13th, Suicide Squad, both the theatrical and extended cuts, are currently available for digital HD download only.
You can't
right
rent them,
How much
though.
Extra is extended cut?
13 minutes.
13 minutes long.
Oh.
You can buy
is
both.
Is that just more words in the credits?
Yeah. Yeah. So you can buy them. You can actually buy both you can actually buy both of them.
Yeah, the
for
light on the camera
$20.
Is blinking.
Yeah, because we only got 3 minutes left, I think.
Oh, gotcha.
So anyway, 2 minutes
left. It's going to explode.
Yeah, it will explode. So we are out of time, guys. Please follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/TheNerdWatch. You can also follow us on Twitter at NerdWatch Nation. You can follow us on Instagram at @the_NerdWatch. And follow us on YouTube at NerdWatch Nation.
That was
as well.
Greg's sexy voice.
That was my...
Oh, we didn't talk about Ghost in the Shell trailer.
Ghost in the Shell trailer. We'll get to that next week, too.
It was awesome.
And that semi-nude outfit that Scarlett Johansson was wearing. ScarJo, you're my favorite. Anyway.
That got really creepy right there.
Sorry. Sorry, I didn't mean to get too creepy.
I don't want to be sitting next to you right now.
Well, we will see you guys next week right here on the Nerd Watch. Lots more stuff to talk about. Make sure to come and visit Maui Comics and Collectibles here at 333 Dairy Road in Kahului. Come see the man Swan or Alika. They'll be more than happy to assist you.
Or Ryan or Travis.
Yeah, or your all your comic book buying needs. They will be more than happy to help you. So until next week, we say to you, peace out. Much love, and most assuredly, always stay nerdy, and for Todd, and for Swan, and for Gannon, and for Format, and for Kai, and for Alika, and myself, G-Money, we say to you guys, Aloha!
Bigly!
May the Force be with you, Bigly.